And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. Happy New Year, everybody. I hope you are going to have a wonderful final day of 2019. And this is the last day of 2019. Just think about this. 365 days. Many people started out on January 1. They are not here with us now. And you have been blessed to see the goodness of the Lord yet in the land of the living. And we ought not take that for granted, should we? And I'm grateful for you. I'm grateful to God, of course, for sparing my life and giving me the grace. You know, there's an old song that says he saved us from dangers seen and unseen. In other words, there are things that could have happened to us that we didn't even really know could have happened to us, but God protected us from walking the path that would have allowed those things to happen to us. And I know people hear that and they say, well, what about the people things that did happen to? But folks, I can't live for them. I don't have an answer for that. That's between them and God. I'm not judging anybody else. I'm just expressing my gratitude for the fact that I'm here, that you're here, and that as long as we're here, we can give God praise and honor and glory until the time comes when we will no longer be here if Jesus tarries. So thank God for the 365th day of 2019, and tomorrow is the first day of 2020. And I am looking forward to 2020 with my neck stretched out in white-hot expectation of good things from God. Good things for you, good things for me, good things for our families, good things for our country. I'm serious about that, folks. The Bible says the path of the righteous is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. I'm believing for things to get brighter and brighter and better and better. I don't care what the devil is doing. The devil is a liar. So he is a defeated foe. And we are not going to allow him to take over our country. We're not going to allow him to take over our lives. And so I'm looking forward. I am in great anticipation and expectation of good things. And I trust you are too. So whatever problems confronted you, maybe some of them aren't yet solved, as you come to the close of 2019, God is going to solve those problems. You just keep your hands in his hands. You just keep trusting him. You just keep listening to and the Holy Spirit and seeking to be led and guided by him and being obedient to God's word. And I guarantee you're going to come out on top. You are going to come out as the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. So be encouraged, everybody, as we come to the end of this year. And you know, we pray for those people out there who don't know Jesus Christ, who don't have faith, because you all realize that we're having an epidemic of suicides, many of them among our young people. And I'm convinced it's in part because we've allowed the left to create a culture of godlessness and hopelessness and purposelessness and meaninglessness. And who can live like that? I mean, if life has no purpose, if it has no meaning, if there's no guiding star, what is the point? I mean, suicide's not the answer, but you can understand if somebody has been told that you're nothing but an accidental evolutionary development who used to be a tadpole, or at least your ancestors were, and you just happened to get the lucky evolutionary ticket and climb out of the cosmic ooze and from one level of monkey to another, finally you stood upright, your ancestors did, at least as a human being, and now here you are. And you're just nothing but a lucky animal. Well, I mean, my goodness gracious, if that's what people believe, if that's what they really think life is about, no wonder we've got an epidemic of suicide. Because what difference does it make, right? No, we are created in the image and likeness of Almighty God. Even people who don't know him bear the imprint of their Creator. And those of us who know him know that he is more real than anything that you'll ever see hear, or know in your life. He is reality itself. And when you know him, life has meaning and purpose because you know who you are, you know where you've come from, and you know where you're going. You know to whom you belong. And that makes all the difference in the world, folks. And so I am encouraged. I hope you are too. Whatever problems you may be facing, believe me, there's nothing too hard for God. Nothing too hard for him. And so between you and him and your faith, the word says in 1 John chapter 5, this is the victory that's overcome the world, our faith. You're going to overcome it, whatever it is. Well, look, today, yesterday, as you all know, if those of you who are listening yesterday know we couldn't take any calls yesterday, but we're taking calls today. And I want to get a lot of calls in today because I wanted to make today an unusual program because it's the last day of the year. And I wanted to give you all a chance to reflect on what's happened this year, either to you personally or in the country. Anything that you think is important to say, we'd just be interested in hearing it. So I did more research and reading this morning than I normally do in preparation for the program. I always do a lot, but I did even more than I normally do because I was trying to get a handle on the entire year. You know what I mean? Trying to assess it. So I had to go back and read what happened in January, what happened in February, what happened in March, what are some of the things that happened that I thought happened this year, but actually, no, they happened last year because, you know, my memory is playing tricks on me. Oh, no, that was not this year. That was last year. So I had to get all of that straight. And in going through that process, I observed something. Now, it is a confirmation of what we already know and suspect, but it still hit me pretty hard, and it's this. Folks, the news, its analysis, its assessment is done by a bunch of leftists who have an agenda. Because as I look to see, what are the significant events of 2019? What happened in 2019? You know what I found? I found a lot of, this transgender achieved this and that transgender achieved that and there was a transgender first, and this was the first gay person, and this was the... I found a whole lot of that garbage. Just weird stuff. And a lot of stuff about the things that were done for climate change, and some people are taking seriously that the planet is about to be destroyed and are taking action. And so Greta Thunberg, and she's been recognized as the whatever, I guess, the person of the year. I guess that's what they call it now. And somebody else created a solar panel that is going to save the planet. And you just find all this stuff that the leftists, the progressive, the Marxist, the socialist, the communist media want to sell you. You know what I didn't find in any of those generic searches? Nothing about the American economy. Nothing about jobs. Nothing about the achievements of this president, which are significant. Now, I finally found what I was looking for, but it was tough because I certainly couldn't find it on NBC, ABC, CBS, CNN, the Washington Post, nothing, nada, zero. So stand by, though, because I've got some good stuff for you. Back in a moment.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson.
Yesterday, I talked about charitable giving. Today, I wanted to follow up by challenging us as Christians to consider giving even more than we do. Perhaps the best book on that subject was written by David Green. It has the arresting title, Giving It All Away. He is the founder of Hobby Lobby and tells the story of his success and calls for Christians to give generously to churches and other ministries. He and the rest of his family have been on my radio program. We often talk about Hobby Lobby, the Museum of the Bible, and even their court case that went all the way to the Supreme Court. Most people know that Hobby Lobby is closed on Sunday. They may not also realize that their stores close earlier than other stores. That means they're only open 66 hours a week and compete with stores open many more hours. David Green did so that his employees can spend more time with their families. Hobby Lobby also pays its full-time employees well. Back in 2009, they raised the base pay to $10 an hour. The next year, they tacked on another dollar. The next year, they did it again, and then again. That is another reason why the Green family values their employees. I asked David Green if he ever imagined that he would have to sue the federal government. The thought never crossed his mind, but he did so when the HHS mandate would have required them to provide abortifacients for their employees. Much of the book focuses on giving and challenges Christians to engage in the adventure of tithing. He has three principles they use and encourage others to implement them as well. First, set your criteria. What are you going to fund? Second, set your giving amount. Give the first fruits, not what is left over. And finally, set fire for the future. He also has thought quite a bit about how to make generosity generational. His book is certain to spark your interest and encourage you in giving. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
Take Kirby and the Point of View team with you on the go with the Point of View app. Search for Point of View Radio at the Apple or Google Play stores.
The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Such comfort. And yet, can you imagine having never read those words for yourself? Hi, it's Michael Woolworth with Bible League International, and we've been engaging the world with God's Word for more than 80 years for $5 a Bible. You know, there are Christians in Asia, Africa, Europe, Latin America, and the Middle East who've never held a Bible in their own hands because of corrupt governments that oppress, majority religions that persecute, and other conditions related to living remotely and in extreme poverty. Some of these new believers, they memorize long stretches of Scripture, while others cherish the Word they heard preached on Sunday until they can gather again. They long for God's Word to hold in their hands and to cherish in their hearts as they grow in His grace and knowledge. Details on how you can be involved are at sendbiblesnow.com. That's sendbiblesnow.com or by calling Bible League at 800-YES-WORD, 800-YES-WORD.
Brian Fisher here. Democrats show signs of desperation as they realize they'll lose to Trump next year. A former NFL player believes up to 20% of blacks will vote for Trump. Guess who the most admired man in America is, right alongside Barack Obama? And we'll revisit some of the high points of media idiocy from the last decade. Next on Focal Point.
Back to the Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
Yeah, I guess Brian Fish is right. It'd be easier to find instances of media idiocy than it is to find actual reporting on events that are important. And I found that out this morning. Another reason why, by the way, because I don't think I've said this. Well, I was off last week, so I don't know when I said it last, but I'm going to say it now. My appreciation for being a part of this network just continues to grow. And mind you, I am deeply and profoundly grateful and honored to be one of the talk show hosts on this network. But I'll tell you, when I have an experience like I had this morning of trying to find objective news to just talk to you about and realizing, oh my God, everything is biased. It's leftist. It's propaganda. It's not news. They're selling an agenda. They're not providing information. And here, yes, now we're honest about the fact that we are Christians and we come to you from a biblical perspective, but not with lies, with the truth. Okay? Now, our perspective on that truth, of course, is Christian, but we're not pretending to be neutral about that. Whereas the mainstream media, first of all, they bring you a bunch of lies, number one. And then number two, they pretend they're being honest and truthful. Did you see, well, maybe I'll get to it during the program, where this NBC reporter, what's the guy's name, Todd, who basically was doing an interview and read this stupid letter about how Americans vote for Trump because, essentially, because they're just stupid, because they're just dumb, and particularly Christians. Say Christians have been taught to believe in fairy tales, so it's easy to believe the fairy tales that President Trump tells. He drug up a letter, and he called it a fascinating explanation for why people support President Trump. Fascinating. And basically what it said was, you know, Christians are just too stupid to know any better. Because they've been taught to believe in fairy tales anyway, so Trump comes along with his lies and fairy tales, and it's easy for Christians just buy right into that. I mean, that's what he actually, Chuck Todd, that's what he actually said. Now, he didn't say he was held that view, but why would you read a stupid letter like that? Those aren't facts. You're using your news platform to smear people because they don't happen to agree with you. So I'll tell you what then. Let's talk about facts with regard to what this president has been able to accomplish this year, because I decided what I'll do is I'll focus on him. Now, by the way, I want to hear from you all. The number is 888-589-8840. What do you think are the highlights of this year? What sticks out in your mind? What are the important stories? What big things have happened in your own life this year? So I finally found Real Clear Politics that actually did what I consider to be an objective assessment of some of the achievements this year, most of which are related to the Trump administration, but not all directly his responsibility, but good things that have been happening. Of course, the first item they bring up is jobs and the economy. Folks, we have a booming economy. We have virtually full employment. But in addition to that, we've got a labor participation rate that is growing. In other words, more people participating in the labor force, whereas under Obama, it was declining. We've got manufacturing jobs coming back to the country when we had been told for the 8 years of the Obama administration that those jobs were lost forever and they would never come back. Well, they are coming back. We've had wage growth for the last 16 months straight at a 3% pace. 3%. That only happened for 3 months during Obama's entire 8 years. And by the way, and this is really important, the fastest growth rate in wages is happening for the lowest 10% of earners who saw their income grow 7% last year. And you know, you have the left always running around, oh, inequality of income. This president is doing more to increase the wages of the poorest workers in our country. He's done more in the last 3 years than Obama did in 8. Except he talked about it a lot. We need a constitution that deals with redistributive issues, and we need the Supreme Court to deal with redistributive issues. That's all we heard from him. You didn't make that. You didn't build that. There comes a point when you've got enough money. That's all we heard. A bunch of Marxist nonsense. This president is actually doing something. The last month, 266,000 jobs created. And did you hear Biden's comment recently about the coal industry? About, well, you know, if you're shoveling coal, all you got to, you should be able to become a computer programmer. Well, first of all, that coal shoveling, which nobody does, by the way. I mean, coal shoveling. I know I talked about him yesterday, about how absolutely dumb the man is, how out of touch he is, but this one takes the cake. And I haven't seen the comment, but my understanding is that he made some kind of stupid racial reference about a group of black women who solve some problem. So if these black women could do that, these coal workers can find other jobs. I mean, just if that's what the Democrat Party has to offer America, I think the American people on close examination will have to say, no, thank you. The guy is a complete idiot, folks. And I'm not saying that to be snarky or smart or just to call names. I mean, he is. He just is. And he's the front runner. Yikes. Okay, so that's number one, jobs in the economy. Number two, confronting China. Nobody's done that. No president's done that. Folks, China is a brutal communist dictatorship that has been stealing our technology, has been taking advantage of our economy, has had a major trade deficit with us, and all we've done is allowed them to buy our treasury certificates and lend money to us and come and buy our property, buy our businesses, insinuate themselves into our economy. And nobody, no president until President Donald Trump has really held them accountable. And President Trump is doing it. And by the way, when all of the pundits said, oh, you can't do that, just like they told Ronald Reagan about the Soviet Union, you can't defeat the Soviet Union. You just have to manage that relationship. And Ronald Reagan's response was, no, I have a plan for how we're going to deal with the Soviet Union. What's that, Mr. President? We win, they lose. Oh, no, he's a warmonger. He's going to get us into a nuclear war. He's crazy. And now there's no more Soviet Union. Thank you very much. The economy is soaring. When we were told the president was going to get us into a trade war and it was going to devastate the economy, it was going to stop the growth, it was going to stop the trajectory, it was going to be ruinous for all of us. And the American economy is just humming along, and the Chinese economy is struggling. Thank you very much. And then the same is true with, oh, wow, this is a big one, too. And I'll stop here. The number is 888-589-8840. I'll deal with some others later. But let me add this one in. That President Trump has done, in spite of being called a racist, in spite of being called anti-Hispanic, in spite of being called anti-Semitic, President Trump is actually making major inroads into these minority communities. Some people are predicting the president might get 40% of the Hispanic vote. He might get 20% of the black vote. Virtually unprecedented in recent years. He is breaking through. The one that they've tried to dub the racist, and you know why they've done that. They've done that to try to scare black voters and Hispanic voters to not vote for President Donald Trump. But here again, when folks look at their pocketbook and they look at their bank account, and they see what President Trump has done to make their lives better and make it possible for them to get and hold a job or build a business. These folks aren't stupid. I know the left thinks they are, and that's been proven. The left thinks all minorities are stupid, and they think that what they really need is to be led around by the nose by a bunch of leftists who can tell them what to do, what to think, who to vote for, how to act, and all that. You know, Listen, white liberals are better at telling black and Hispanic people and women what it means to be authentically who they are than those people are themselves. Well, President Trump has dropped a proverbial grenade into the middle of their little plans. And it's back in a moment.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
Criticism. All of us at one time or another are victims of it. And all of us, sometimes too often, are guilty of it. But there is nothing basically wrong with criticism in itself. It is only that we humans have a way of misusing it. Most of our criticism isn't constructive or even given in a spirit of helpfulness. Most of our criticism is nothing more than our attempt to belittle another's efforts. And that's where the real problem comes in. We have no higher purpose in our criticism than to make someone else look bad. It's too bad that we don't use criticism more like our Maker intended for us to use it, in a spirit of love and concern for those we criticize. You know, I have an idea that if we used it in that method, there would be a lot less of it and more constructive results from it. Did you ever notice that those who get the most criticism usually give very little of it? And at the same time, these people usually do the most good for society and are appreciated the least for their efforts. Sure, there are exceptions, but generally speaking, that's the way it appears. I guess the reason that those who get criticized the most give very little criticism is that they know the deep hurt which cruel, cutting, unfair criticism brings. There are very few hurts that can compare with it. No one is immune to criticism, and those who more fully try to follow the way of the Galilean sometimes suffer the most. Many have been the number of people who have been pure in heart and sincerely trying to help their fellow man who have been criticized ever so harshly. I may be wrong about the matter, but I am of the opinion that if we are to be critical of someone or their way, we should at least offer a better way. Else, what good have we accomplished by our criticism? Any idiot can do the same, that is, be critical without being constructive. The fisher of men once said something about having a log in our own eye and trying to take a splinter from the eye of another. He said we would do well to first get the log from our own eye before trying to remove the splinter from our neighbor's eye. You know, the tragedy is that we don't follow this very practical advice. No, we can spot the smallest splinter in another while looking straight through our own log. 'Tis a real shame that this is the case, but the case it is. Once a person sets his sights high in this life, he's opened the door for severe criticism. For history records that those who have done the most for mankind have been those who have suffered the most criticism. So if one has ambition about leaving the world a better place to live, he'd better get prepared for the criticism that will follow. And while we know that to be the truth, somehow it just doesn't take away the hurt that criticism brings.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
And we're back. The number is 888-589-8840. Let me just give you one example. I'm going to come right to your calls. Now, so I'm looking at what are the milestones? What happened this year? One of the things I found was Chicago just elected its first black woman gay mayor. And I'm thinking, what? You know, that's right. Big news. Oh, this is a milestone. Now, look, I'm thinking to myself, now what is important is the violence going down in Chicago? Is the murder rate going down in Chicago? Is the economy coming back in Chicago? Are some of these poor, gang-infested inner-city communities in Chicago becoming better places to live? Oh, no. That's not important. What's important is Chicago now has its first threefer, black, female, and gay. I mean, folks, that's what passes as news. Now, what I just read you about what President Obama is doing, what I just shared with you about President Obama, let's forget about him, what President Trump is doing, that's real news. That's real news. Those are real accomplishments, substantive changes that are taking place to make people's lives better. And what does the left have to offer? we just had our first transgender win a race. I mean, you know, right? Oh, my goodness gracious. Oh, I trust the American people are going to make the right choice in November of this year, of next year. It's not quite this year, not quite 2020 yet. Because, folks, if the garbage I read for highlights for 2019 in the so-called mainstream media is what they have planned for us, the trouble's only going to get worse. So thank God for some leaders like President Trump who are willing to buck the tide, if you will, and really try to lead the American people to a place where our lives are better, the lives of our children are better, our economy is strong, jobs are growing, and people can live their lives instead of running around touting what their sexual preference is and expecting that ought to be a cause for great joy and celebration for everybody. Okay, let's go to the lines. We've got from Florida, Don, welcome.
Thank you for your time. I love your show. Thank you for all that you do. And we need people like you. I got a lot I want to say. First off, you know, the Democrat Party is the race to hell. Okay. Trump 2020. I'm there. I voted for him and I will do it again. You know, Trump may not be a good guy as far as the most spiritual guy. But the thing is I think he's a role model for manhood. You don't go around making apology tours, and that's how you make friends with your enemies. The other thing is all lives matter. I also like the way he points out fake news. And the one thing I really love about Trump is he's going again. He's not backing down. And I hope that Mike Pence is right behind him. This is a very important thing here. This is a very important thing here. Even though the Democrats, demon craps, are a pain in the posterior, how do we pray for those that we disagree with or that are either ignorant or arrogant or just flat out evil?
Amen. Don, thank you for the call, my friend. Look, Ronald Reagan famously said, it's not that liberals don't know anything. It's just that everything they know is wrong. And, man, he said that in a much more, shall we say, a much less radical environment with a much less radicalized Democrat Party. And he made that statement. So you've nailed it. Now, in terms of praying for them, folks, look, the only thing you can do is pray really for God to open their eyes in terms of them personally, because let's face it, the bottom line here is for these people is that they're going to bust hell wide open because they've rejected God for the most part. They've rejected faith in Jesus Christ. They're proud secularists. They kick God out of their party. And the only thing you can do is just pray that their eyes will be open. You know, the Bible says the God of this world has blinded their eyes lest they should see the glory of the gospel of God in the face of Jesus Christ. They're spiritually blinded, and they really need to see the truth. And you can't persuade them by logic because they've rejected logic and substituted their feelings, their emotions, and the lies that they've been indoctrinated with. So you got to pray for that. But in the meantime, you know, I do pray for this, folks. You know, there are such things as imprecatory prayers. In other words, where you have to pray for the defeat of an enemy who you know means you harm, means the country harm. And imprecatory prayers where you pray, Lord, just let confusion be in their ranks. Let them not be able to carry out their plans. Let them not be able to implement their strategies. Let them not be able to get along well enough to do the evil things that they have intended to do. Let them turn on each other. God used to do that when the enemies of Israel would come against them. Often God would cause the armies that were poised to attack Israel turn and attack each other. That's an imprecatory prayer. There's nothing wrong with it. You're not asking God to kill them. You're not asking God to make them sick. You're not asking God to destroy them. You're just asking God to so interfere with their plans that they're incapable of carrying them out. And so that is a prayer I am not ashamed to pray at all, and I feel that is perfectly well within the Christian act of love. Because remember, our country's at stake, and if these people are left to their own devices, they would really destroy this nation. I'm not saying that that's what they're thinking, but that's where it ends up if they get their way. It ends up in the destruction of the greatest nation on earth, turning us from a nation of liberty and opportunity and hope into a nation of socialism and slavery and despair, because that's what that ideology always produces. Okay, let's go to Daniel in Kansas. Daniel, welcome. You're on, Daniel.
Yes, sir. I just commented too. We've got a couple of young men out of our church that joined the Marines this summer, and they come home for Christmas and was talking, and I did not know that they didn't get paid for, well, when they first went in, all their money went for their uniforms and stuff, and they have to pay for their own meals. They get $40 a day. I mean, wages. Let's get our military straightened up. You know, that's wrong. They shouldn't have to do all that and get nothing. And I do appreciate what you're doing for us, and I enjoy your show and listen every day.
Thank you,
and
Daniel.
Thank you, sir, and have a good new year.
Thank you, Daniel. Same to you. And Daniel, I'm not that's news to me, so I will look into that. In fact, I was just listening to a news report earlier today that was talking about the wage increases for our military. I think the number I saw, but please don't hold me to this, folks, because I wasn't planning to talk about this, but I think the number that I saw was 7%, but I will check that out. By the way, I've met a lot of people in the military. That's the first time I've heard them, anybody say anything like that. So, but I'm confident of this, folks. I really am. This president is going to look out for our military. He's going to do everything in his power to look out for our military. As you all know, he is rebuilding the military. We've got the largest military budget in the history of the country. And I think this president is always going to seek to do what is right for our military. Let's go to Jerry in Mississippi. Jerry, welcome.
Hi, this is Jerry. Thank you very much for taking my call. I want to praise the Lord for you and all of your crew, all the crew over there at American Family Radio.
Thank you, Jerry.
I listen to you all the time while I'm on the road doing my courier job. The two things that I want to talk or just share, number one is I'm praising the Lord for this President Donald Trump. One of the main reasons is because he has a care for human life with regards to abortion and letting crazy people into this country that don't belong here. And the other thing is, besides the fact that he loves human life, is the fact that he is just the way that he qualifies for being the president of the United States in this period of time.
All right, Jerry, that's going to have to do it. We got to take a break. Folks, stand by. The number is 888-589-8840. Back in a moment.
It's like the left hand and the right hand. You can't get anything done with two left hands or two right hands. We have one of each for a very specific reason. And we try to get the left hand to do what the right hand's doing, but that wouldn't make any sense. We can't do it with two right hands.
Working with people who are different than you can be challenging, but it can make a stronger team, as Cynthia Tobias explains on Focus on the Family Minute.
I remember hearing an evangelist speak many years ago, and he said, you know, the body of Christ needs to be more like the human body. He said, you know how your left hand, you reaches down to pick up something heavy, and it's too heavy, and the right hand doesn't go, I told you not to pick it up. I can't even believe that you would go and try to pick up something that heavy. The right hand doesn't even think twice, just reaches over there right away, picks it up with the left hand. He said, why can't we be more like that? Why can't the body be more like that? Figure out, you know, the bottom line, here's what we need to accomplish. We need to get together sometimes.
As believers in Christ, we need to work together. More at FamilyMinute.org.
American Family Radio newscasts are now available as a podcast.
I'm Rusty Pugh.
I'm Steve Jordahl.
Didn't catch the full story? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Chris Woodward.
I'm Chad Groening.
Didn't have the radio on at the top of the hour? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Charlie Bunch.
And I'm Fred Jackson.
Get accurate news from a Christian perspective whenever you want it with the American Family News podcast. You can also sign up for our daily news brief. Visit onenewsnow.com.
What would you do?
Aunt Sadie, I appreciate your thought behind the gift card, but I just can't take it. I promise not to shop at Target because they allow men in areas that need to be private and protected for women and children. I hope you'll go to afa.net/Target and learn about it. I'm not giving them my money.
Aunt Sadie didn't know about AFA's call to boycott Target, but she knows now, and so do you. Learn even more at afa.net/Target. afa.net/Target.
Here's Dan Steiner, president of Preborn, a ministry dedicated to helping save preborn babies from abortion through ultrasound.
I sense God's broken heart over the issue of abortion. You see, he sees every little baby that's being formed in the mother's womb, and it breaks his heart to see when the lifetime that he has planned for them is taken from them violently so often.
Preborn is the direct competition to Planned Parenthood. By letting a mother see her baby on ultrasound and hear her baby's heartbeat, she'll choose life 80% of the time. For $140, you can sponsor 5 ultrasounds, and you'll receive a story and a picture of babies whose lives were spared. To donate, dial pound 250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250 and say baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com. Your love can save a life.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
The number is 888-589-8840. Coming to your calls in just a second, let me just add a few other things to the accomplishments of this president this year. He has nominated 50 judges, a federal appeals court judges, in only 3 years compared to 55 for President Obama over 8 years. And we're talking about primarily conservative, strong conservative judges who are textualists and originalists who believe that the Constitution should be interpreted based on the way the founding fathers intended, not the way some social engineer wants it to say, wants it to read, because he's got some sort of social agenda, the way these LGBTQ activist judges have done. Tried to make the Constitution say something that it does not say. There is no constitutional right to same-sex marriage, period. I don't care what the Supreme Court said. It doesn't exist. They made it up out of whole cloth, the same way they made up the garbage in Roe v. Wade out of whole cloth. There's no constitutional right to an abortion. But, you know, that's the law of the land. But the law of the land is wrong in both instances. This president is appointing judges, I believe, who could ultimately overturn Roe v. Wade and perhaps even at some point overturn same-sex marriage. Wouldn't that be a miracle? The president has implemented a Remain in Mexico policy because only 1% of the people who come to this country from Mexico, through Mexico, applying for asylum, only 1% are actually eligible for assignment. Folks, 99% of the people coming into this country now asking for asylum are not eligible for it. It's a ruse. It's a joke. It's a game. And this president fought back against this out of control special counsel, Robert Mueller, and defeated him. Because he'd done nothing wrong after listening to 2 years of lying propaganda coming out of the left and coming out of the Democratic Party, including Adam Schiff, talking about, I have evidence that this president colluded with the Russians. He's a lying sack of beans. He had no such evidence. He just made it up. This is sad, folks. But you know what? This president defeated them anyway. So in spite of all the things they say against him, he's a racist, he's a white supremacist, he's a sexist, he's a He's a liar. He's a Russian asset. He's a traitor. I mean, they've called him everything but a child of God, and he just keeps pounding away for the American people and giving us success after success after success. Remember when the president said when he was running, he said, "You're going to get so tired of winning. You're just going to say, Mr. President, we just keep winning." Well, you know what? Well, we're not getting tired of winning, but I'll tell you what, praise God for the winning, because he is winning, and he's going to keep winning. This impeachment thing is a hoax and a lie, and it's going to crash in on the very heads of those who came up with this nonsense. So folks, there's a lot to celebrate in what happened in 2019 with regard to our government. Let's come back to your calls. 888-589-8840. Let's go to Norman in Texas. Norman, welcome.
Hello. Appreciate you, brother. I truly believe that God put him into office. Mm-hmm. And I truly believe that God is guiding his hands. Whatever he's doing, I believe he's doing what God wants him to do.
And that's, Norman, I do too. I really do.
You know, it's just amazing what he has done. And he's the first president that's ever done everything he said he was going to do. You know, all the rest of them, they just back off and let things ride, you know. At least he got out there and done something, you know.
Yeah, Norman, there's a novel idea. A politician who actually does what he said he was going to do. Now, there's a
yeah.
unique thing, isn't it?
I believe that's what's driving them crazy, because he's doing everything he said he's going to do, and now they can't stand it because it ain't supposed to be back to them, you know, or something.
Well, I tell you what, Norman, let's just keep praying that things keep moving in the same direction. Thanks for the call, Norman. We appreciate it. All right, let's go to Sim in Georgia. Sim, I hope I've got your name right. Welcome.
Hello?
Sim, are you there? Is it Sim?
Yes, this is Sim. How are you?
I'm blessed, Sim. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Wanted to give you a call. I had a question. You being a pastor, man of God, when it seems like you use the word Democrat or liberal, you demonize it. Mm-hmm. Because there will be some, believe it or not, there will be in heaven some people that do have different political views than you that may be Democrats. So I think
Hold on. Let's stop there, because I want to give you a chance to say what else you were going to say. There won't be anybody in heaven who denies the truth of the word of God, because you can't deny the truth of the word of God and get into heaven too. And when Democrats say that same-sex marriage is just as good as heterosexual marriage, they're denying the truth of the word of God. When they say, like Pete Buttigieg and others say, well, a baby is not a baby until it takes its first breath outside its mother's womb, that denies the truth of the word of God. And when Democrats say that somehow everything is about race, that's not what the word of God says. The word of God says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, henceforth know we no one according to the flesh. We don't even know Jesus according to the flesh anymore. So everything about their philosophy and platform is against the word of God. And that, to me, is demonic. So now you go ahead and say, you can respond to that, or go ahead and say what the other thing was you were going to say. But I just wanted to get to that.
Okay, thank you so much for the response. Well, again, my problem is that you're saying all Democrats, because there are conservative Democrats that do not support abortion, that do not support same-sex marriage. And I think we have to be careful. Just because a political candidate states that they are against abortion and they do certain things just to get your vote, but they themselves or he himself is a horrible human being. And nothing about them says that they love Jesus Christ or have accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. It can cause people to accept him to be foolish and to be wrong. And I think And I don't believe if Christ came back, he would accept our president unless he accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, repented of his sins.
Okay. Listen. I think, Sim, I've got you. I've got the essence of what you're saying. Look, let's separate two things. I cannot put President Trump in heaven. Only Jesus Christ can. But I didn't elect President Trump or vote for President Trump to go to heaven. I want him to go to heaven. I want everybody to go to heaven. I want Democrats, Republicans, Independents. I want everybody to go to heaven because I know God does. But I voted for him to lead this country in a particular direction. And so let's separate out those two things. I didn't vote for him to be pastor of America. I voted for him to be president. And it's his policies and it's the platform that he's run on and that he's implementing that matters most to me. Do I pray for his salvation? Yes. I hear some people tell me he is saved. I don't know him personally, so I can't vouch for that from a personal perspective. But right now, I'm most concerned about the direction of the country. And this president is defending the First Amendment rights of Christians. Democrats are trampling all over that. And you're right, there may be some good Democrats out there who don't agree, but I tell you what I don't see. I don't see them fighting to change the platform of their party. I see them bowing down and kowtowing to it and doing everything in their power to go along to get along. So are they going to make it into heaven even though they go to church every Sunday? I think you could raise a question about that too. So, but thanks for the call, Sim. I do appreciate it. Call me back again, okay? Let's talk some more. Let's go to Janice in Texas. Janice, welcome.
Hello.
Hi.
It's a joy to listen to this whole station. But back to what you were saying about God confusing the enemy. And so that, you know, they turn on themselves and that's my prayer too, because we're not praying for destruction or death or bad things to happen. Just Lord, blind them, like the people that tried to pull the two angels out of Lot's house. They were blinded; they couldn't find the door. Then there was the battle where the enemy turned on each other and killed each other.
Mm-hmm.
But we see a lot of that. What I was thinking about was what was said earlier, and this kind of goes along with the previous caller. They were talking about when you go to have an operation, you know, what if you have a doctor that is the top in his field in the world, and you know, you feel comfortable with him doing the operation, but he has a horrible bedside manner.
Yeah.
That's kind of like what we see in Trump, and they said just, and it's the same like with a football team or any other team, you know.
Right. I'm running out of time. So thank you for the call. I got the point, and it's a good one. Or maybe the doctor's not saved, but he's better than maybe you know another doctor who is, but this doctor who's not is a better surgeon. I mean, who do you go with? Unless the Lord directs me differently, I go with the doctor who's got the better skill. Now, I'm not saying God might not direct me in a different way, but all things being equal, I'm going with the doctor who's got the better skill. I think the president is being used by God to achieve something that God wants to happen in this country, and that's one of the reasons why I am so fervently supportive of this president and what he's trying to do. You know what, folks? I apologize to you all. I really wanted to get to every single one of you. And look, what I want to say to all of you, though, is Happy New Year. May the Lord bless you to have the greatest year of life you've ever had. May you be blessed in the city, blessed in the country, blessed going out, blessed coming in, and may everything you set your hands to do prosper. And I speak that over you and believe that for you in the name of Jesus. And remember, folks, we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.